Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Oh, yeah.
Today, we're diving into a case that really takes us into the wild world of online copyright infringement.
Okay.
Perfect. 10. Inc. Visa International Service Association.
This is a fascinating case, really is. Makes you ask some tough questions about, who's responsible when things go wrong online. And in this case, it's can credit card companies be held liable when someone uses their services to buy, well, illegal content, infringing content?
Infringing content. And you know what? That's exactly what our listener needs to know. You're a narrator for the Alexa Blood podcast.
Okay.
And this is perfect for you.
Absolutely.
So we got to break this down. Give them the good stuff.
Okay.
Give them the insights. So let's just start with what are the basics here?
Well, we've got Perfect 10. They're a company that publishes adult content.
Okay.
And they're saying, hey, we have copyright and trademark protection over our images. And they find out that these pictures, these images, are being sold on all sorts of websites without their
Of
permission.
course, yeah.
And here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
They didn't go after the websites directly. Instead, they decided to sue the credit card companies
Wow.
who were processing the payments for those sites.
That's bold. That is a bold move. I can already see why this ended up in court.
Yeah.
It's like they're saying, hey, Visa, MasterCard, you're accomplices.
You're helping. Yeah. It's a great analogy. And that's exactly what Perfect 10 argued. They said that these companies, these credit card companies, they were contributing to this infringement. And their logic was basically, hey, you guys are providing this financial pipeline. You're keeping these websites alive. You're making it possible for them to make money off our stolen content.
So they're trying to hold them responsible for
Yes.
the actions of the websites using their services.
Absolutely, they are. And to back up their argument, they pointed to other cases where providers of a platform, they got in trouble. They were found liable for infringing activities that were happening on their watch, so to speak. They brought up cases like Fonovisa, where a swap meet operator was actually held responsible for vendors who were selling pirated goods. And they even brought up Napster. I mean, who doesn't remember
Oh,
Napster?
yeah, of course.
The music file sharing site. They got in so much trouble for making it easy to share, copyrighted music.
So Perfect 10 is saying, hey, look, even though credit card companies, they're not, directly putting this content up. They're not selling it themselves. They're still part of the problem. They're making the transactions possible. It's almost like saying if you own a building and you're renting it out, you're responsible if your tenant's doing something illegal inside.
That's a great way to put it. But the credit card companies, they didn't just sit back. They had a defense ready to go. They said, whoa, 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 hold on a second. We're just the payment processors. We don't make the content. We don't host it. We don't tell anyone where to find it. And they made a big point of saying, look, copyright infringement, that can happen no matter how someone pays for something.
Okay, so they're drawing a line. They're saying our role is it's just a transaction. We're just helping with the money part. We don't touch the content itself.
And they also said that, look, we can't be expected to watch every single transaction that goes through our systems. And besides, when we do our marketing, when we tell people about our services, we're talking about legal stuff, not about infringing activities. We're focused on the legal stuff.
It sounds like a classic who's responsible kind of debate.
Yeah.
And both sides are making some really interesting points.
They are.
So what other arguments did Perfect 10 try to use to really try to pin this on the credit card companies?
Oh, they had a couple more tricks up their sleeve. Oh, they had a couple more tricks up their sleeve. They brought up this idea of inducement. They were arguing that the credit card companies, just by promoting their services for online purchases in general, they were basically encouraging infringement because they knew that their cards could be used on these websites selling illegal content.
So even though they're not saying, hey, go to this website or go to that website, Perfect 10 is saying that just the general marketing is making more likely that infringement is going to happen.
And to make their point, they brought up the Grokster case.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this involved a software company,
Right.
and they got in a lot of trouble because they were promoting a tool that was specifically designed for illegal file sharing.
Yeah, of course.
So Perfect 10 was trying to say, look, even though credit cards aren't designed for infringement,
Right.
the companies know that they can be used that way,
Okay.
and they're still marketing them to everyone.
Okay, so they're taking a big case that everyone knows about, and they're saying, this is
Exactly.
the same thing.
It's similar.
Yeah.
Did that work?
Well, not really. The credit card companies, they push back and say,
Yeah.
hold on, our
Oh,
promotions,
right.
they talk about convenience.
Okay.
They talk about security of online transactions.
Yeah.
We don't mention specific websites. We
Huh?
don't talk about types of content.
Okay.
We're not like Grokster. Our services aren't made for illegal activity.
It's a tough line to draw.
It is.
So, okay, we've got contributory infringement,
Right.
we've got inducement.
Yeah.
What else did Perfect 10 throw at the credit card companies?
Well, they weren't done yet.
Okay.
They also went after them with a vicarious copyright infringement claim.
Okay, that sounds complicated.
It can be.
Break it down for me. Basically, they said that credit card companies have the right and the ability to supervise what's going on these websites
Okay.
because they can enforce their merchant agreements.
Right.
These agreements usually say no illegal activities, no
Right.
copyright infringement.
So Perfect 10 is saying you could shut these websites down,
Yeah.
you could cut off their payments, but you're not doing it.
Exactly. They said, you've got this power to control the money,
Right.
and that means you're responsible for what's being sold.
Okay, but I'm sure the credit card companies had something to say about that.
Oh, yeah, they definitely did.
Okay.
They shot back with, okay, sure, we can end agreements with merchants who break our rules,
Right.
but that doesn't mean we can control what's on their websites. They
Okay.
said, we can stop the payments,
Right.
but we can't stop the actual infringement.
So they're admitting that they have some power,
Yeah.
but they're saying
Right.
we can't be the content police.
Exactly. They basically said, we control the money, not what's being sold. And they used the same argument when Perfect 10 came at them with trademark infringement claims.
Okay.
Those claims were pretty much the same as the copyright arguments.
Right.
They argued contributory infringement
Right.
and they argued vicarious liability.
Okay.
But the credit card companies stuck to their guns.
Yeah.
They insisted we don't have enough control over what these websites are actually doing.
So it sounds like Perfect 10, they were really trying. They
Yeah.
were building a case all around the idea of control and responsibility in the online world.
That's a good way to put it.
But you mentioned earlier that there was a dissenting opinion in this case,
Right.
a judge who didn't agree with the majority ruling.
Yeah, there
A
was.
judge who didn't agree with the majority ruling.
Yeah, that was Judge Kaczynski.
Okay.
He wrote this really strong dissent where he said that the credit card companies, they actually were a big part of the problem.
Okay.
He thought the court was letting them off too easy.
So he wasn't buying the whole, we're just the middleman thing.
Yeah, nope, not at all. He saw them as more than that.
Okay.
He said they had the power to put real pressure on these websites,
Right.
by enforcing their rules and maybe even completely stopping them from taking payments.
So he thought they were kind of ignoring the problem, even though they had the tools to do something about it.
Yeah, basically.
Interesting. So what did he think they should do?
Well, he had some ideas. He suggested that the credit card companies could make like a blacklist
Okay.
of websites that are known for copyright infringement
Yeah.
and just refuse to do business with them.
So, like, if you're letting this illegal stuff happen,
Yeah.
you're going to face the consequences.
Exactly.
Did he have any other suggestions?
Yeah, he also thought that credit card companies could work more closely with the copyright holders, help them find the infringing websites and then take action against them.
So he wanted them to be more proactive
Yeah, exactly.
in fighting online piracy.
Right.
It sounds like he felt really strongly about this.
Yeah. He did. But at the end of the day, the majority of the court, they sided with the credit card companies.
Okay.
They said that the credit card companies weren't directly liable for the infringement.
So they're saying, okay, they made it easier for this to happen,
Yeah.
and they may have even made it more profitable, but it's not like they were the ones actually doing it.
Exactly. They drew a line between doing the transaction and
Right.
actually doing the infringing.
So the court said the websites are the problem, not the companies processing the money.
Right.
You know, this is making me think about my own work as I get ready for my Alexa Plug podcast.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just about these pictures, is it?
No, not at all. This case is relevant for pretty much anything being sold online.
Yeah.
So if credit card companies aren't responsible when they process payments for illegal stuff,
Right.
what about other platforms?
Yeah.
What about social media sites that have copyrighted material?
Yeah.
Or search engines that give links to websites that are doing illegal things?
It's like there are so many questions about who's responsible for what online.
Definitely. It's a huge issue.
My listeners are going to love this.
I bet they will.
This case, it really shows how tough it is to try to balance, you know, free speech and doing business
right.
with protecting people's intellectual property.
Absolutely. It's a constant balancing act.
And Judge Kaczynski's dissent, it makes you think.
Yeah.
Even though he didn't win, his arguments are really important.
For sure.
They show how complicated this whole thing is.
Yeah.
About who should be held accountable for online infringement.
Exactly. It's a discussion that we're still having today.
Absolutely. As technology keeps changing, we're going to keep having to figure this stuff out.
Definitely.
This perfect 10 case.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It really shows you just how complicated the law is when you're talking about the digital world.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings up these big questions about who's responsible when
yeah.
someone's breaking the law online.
It does.
And Judge Kaczynski's dissent, it's like he's throwing gasoline on the fire.
Yeah.
He's saying, maybe our laws aren't ready for this.
Right.
It's really thought-provoking stuff.
It is.
I think you've given me a lot to work with for my podcast episode.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
Thanks for taking this deep dive with me.
You bet.
Anytime.
I'll see you in the next one.
Looking forward to it.